Good morning, everyone. We're going to try to get started. Let me kind of go over the game plan for today for those who have not been following us on a regular basis in the last week. We have a number of bills that are set for work session. I am going to take two of the bills that were up yesterday due to miscommunications by myself and one of the individuals representing one of the groups. They did not have someone here that they wanted to have testify. I've decided as chair that I'm going to allow them to testify at the very beginning, and then what we're going to do is start working through our work sessions. With that in mind, the plan is that we will go till close to 10 o'clock. We're waiting for some of the paperwork that we may need. It appears that we're going to need to come back this evening or this afternoon late to clear the stuff off the docket that we're in need. If that is the case, we've already posted, I believe, to start at 5:15. It will be in this room, and I will do everything I can to move that through as quickly as possible for we're not into the late hours. All right. With that said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and open a open up a work session on Senate Bill 393 and 394, and the purpose of opening the work session at this time is to allow one individual to give testimony where we had miscommunications yesterday. So, Council, do you want to give us a review?
Members of the committee, in keeping with the discussion yesterday, we got an amendment to 394, that's the -1 amendments, and these bills are significantly similar, except with the, as amended, I'll explain what the difference is. The amendment we have to 394, on page 1, it will make it similar to 393 in that this will be second look for anyone except for a juvenile convicted of murder. And then when you go to 394 on the last page, page 7, it removes section 3, which was basically the retroactive provision. So what it means is they're similar as far as to whom they apply. They are not similar as it relates to section 3. 394 will not apply retroactively. 393 will. There will be a difference in the fiscal between the two of them, but that's the policy issue. It's a difference between the two bills as it relates to policy.
All right, so just as a clarification, if you remember yesterday, we had testimony. I believe Doug Harkerode was the one that pointed out in his reading of the two bills, 393 and 394. It appeared that they were both going to be retroactive. It was not the intent of the drafting of that legislation to have them both. One was supposed to be with retroactivity, and the other was not. And that's what I understand was now been the amendment -1s for 394. With that, Shannon White, did you want to come forward with your other individual that you wanted to have testimony yesterday?
Thank you, Chair Posansky, members of the committee. I will not be testifying, but I did want to thank you for allowing Mr. Eden's testimony today.
Chairman Posansky, Vice Chair Cruz, committee members, I want to thank you for giving me a moment to get up here and talk. I assume that everybody's got my written testimony, so in lieu of time constraints, I'm just going to just hit on a couple of the reasons why I am strongly in favor of.
I need you to go ahead and put your name on the record.
Oh, I am very sorry. My name is Ken Edens. I reside in Westland, Oregon.
Mr. Edens, go ahead. And like you said, please don't read your testimony, but if you can summarize it for us, that'd be wonderful.
Right. I just really quickly wanted to just hit a couple of the highlights of why I am strongly in favor of Bill 393. Currently, we do a horrible job of releasing the wrong people. I'm also the father of Tiffany Edens, who at 13 years of age was violently raped by a serial rapist. We've 3.5 years ago, we found out that by accident that Mr. Gilmore was going to be released. We ensued in a 2-year legal battle to prevent that from happening. We were successful in that. We've got an ongoing, every 2 years now, where we go out in front and see if he has actually changed, been rehabilitated, which so far he has not been. My last June parole hearing, I brought I brought to the Pro Board's attention that currently we had 58 very dangerous predatory sex offenders that we can't account for right now, where they've clipped their bracelets off. That's just in Marion and Multnomah counties. We got to find a way where we can do this a much better job to have good public safety. One of the things that most people aren't aware of is the day before we found out about Mr. Gilmore's release, my oldest son Ryan was convicted and sentenced under a Major 11 charge. He molested my granddaughter. When we suspected this, I asked him to tell me the truth. To his credit, he did. I then asked him, without obtaining an attorney, to go with me to the police and make a full confession. I explained Measure 11, how serious this was to him. I told him that I loved him very... Excuse me.
It's all right.
But I loved him very much, but he needed to do his hard work and be held accountable for what he did. And I also told him that I'm going to walk every step of the way with him through this process, which over the last 3.5 years, almost every Wednesday night, I've commuted from West Lynn to the Tillamook Youth Authority to go through sex treatment with him. And if you were to look up in the dictionary about the guy that was the one who said, where's the family? Once a sex offender, always a sex offender, just ignorant guy, you'd see a picture of me. I was that guy. I've gone through an education process, and I've learned what Director Williams and Director Peters already knows, that there's a wide spectrum. It's very complicated when you're dealing with youth offenders and you're dealing with adult offenders. And, you know, it's amazing some of the things that we've gone through. There's been a lot of good things that have happened going through. One of the good things is they have it down at Tillamook Youth Authority. They have a 3-year treatment program that is unbelievable. Since 2003, they have not had one kid recidivate sexually under this program. They got a 5% recidivating rate for one kid stole a car and another kid did something else. But as far as the treatment, it's really, really an excellent program. I think that the bill is very, very good because it does get the professional people back involved in this, the people that handle these kids on a daily basis, the treatment manager, the superintendent of the facilities, a staff member. And as a victim who has to go every 2 years, which is not pleasant to do, on the other end with the Gilmore situation, I am very sensitive and understand what it would be like for, in this bill, the victims, the prosecutor, who would represent the state of Oregon, would all have to get together. I'm very sensitive to that. But I think in this case, it's such a huge difference between a child offender than an adult offender that you really need to take that into consideration. And, one other, the last point that Chair Pozanski sits on the Criminal Justice Commission. Recently, there was a report that was analysis that was released that proves exactly what I found out 3 years ago, that in the OYA, or the DOC kids assigned to the OYA system, that the majority of men there are under DOC, not Measure 11, and most of them have much more serious crimes. The ones that are Measure 11 kids are like kids like my son. It's where the perpetrator and the victim are all in the same family. We're not plea bargaining because we put our child victim first. So they are mandated with this. 1 in 3, I think the report stated, that Measure 11 offenses are actually prosecuted. There was no way I was going to go through a situation that for my granddaughter. We're still really working closely through counseling and going through that. We have another family down at...
I need you to start wrapping up.
Okay, just the last second. Anyway, there's 2 special needs kids, a daughter and a son. And same thing, no plea bargain. These are the least offensive people. If we have to cut 400 beds this summer, the more dangerous people, the one kid put a belt around his victim's neck while raping her, and not a family member, he got half the time because the family of the victim did not want to make the daughter go through more traumatization. So if the 400 beds are going to be released, the more dangerous people are going to be let out. We've got to be smart about this. And I think that 393, although not perfect, goes a long ways to doing this, and I strongly support it. And thank you very much for your time.
Good. Thank you for coming forward. Is there any questions? All right. Thank you very much. All right, I'm going to go ahead and I think what we're going to do is I'm going to go ahead and close the, well, I'll tell you what, we got them open, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to recess the work session on Senate Bill 394, leaving open the work session on 393. And this is one of the two bills in this set that will be going to Ways and Means. These are bills that have been requested to be there because of the potential budget issues, and so the chair will take a motion on Senate Bill 393. There are no amendments on 393. There's an amendment on 394. No.
Mr. Chair, I'll move Senate Bill 393 to the floor without recommendation and a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
All right, Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 393 to the floor without recommendation and request that the President's office refer the bill to the Committee on Ways and Means.
No.
Discussion? Objection?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, we'd like to send a signal, so there'll be two no's.
All right. So for the record, it appears that Senator Cruz and Senator Wissett will be sending a signal by voting no on the motion. Motion is approved, and we'll close the work session on 393. Let's go ahead and open up the work session on Senate Bill 394. This one does have a dash one amendment.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 394.
Senator Cruz moves the dash one amendment into Senate Bill 394. Any discussion?
Could you clarify again, Mr. Chair? I'm sorry. This is the one, the amendment clarifies that it's not retroactive?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Right.
Make sure I understand.
Right. All right. Any other discussion or comments? Any objection? No objection on the dash one. They're received. Chair will take another motion.
Chair, I move Senate Bill 394 as amended by the dash one amendment to the floor without recommendation and request the President refer the bill to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 394 as amended by the dash ones to the floor with no recommendation with the request that the President's office refer the bill to Ways and Means. Discussion? Objection? We have Senator Wissett and Senator Cruz objecting. Motion carries. We'll close the work session on 394. And now we're going to go back up to the top with Senate Bill 369. I believe it's with the dash two amendments.
Mr. Chairman of the Committee, we've adopted the dash two amendments yesterday. And this bill, what it does is it creates a death penalty. It creates, with the amendments, there will be one judge that will review death penalties in the appellate post-conviction relief process. It also sets a time limit, requires the district attorney to file notice to seek a sentence of death no later than 180 days, except for good cause shown, but no event no less than 90 days. Prohibits a defendant from entering a plea of guilty or no contest to a charge of aggravated murder more than 90 days before the trial without the consent of the district attorney. Applies to aggravated murder committed after the date of this act as it relates to the latter part of the amendment.
All right, thank you. And since we've adopted the dash twos, the chair is looking for a motion to send this to Ways and Means.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 369 as amended by the dash twos to the floor without recommendation and request a subsequent referral, the President to a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 369 as amended by previously amended by the dash two amendments to the floor with no recommendation, requesting the President's office to refer the matter to the Committee on Ways and Means. Discussion.
I guess the question I had is why we're sending it without recommendation.
I'd
like to send it with a recommendation.
Pardon me?
I would prefer to send it with a recommendation.
I had requested, the Chair, this is something, if I could, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
In the Human Services Committee, the bills we sent to Ways and Means, we did without recommendation, knowing that there is a train wreck in Ways and Means, and so just to not prejudice the hard decisions they're going to have to make.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I appreciate that, and I realize that certainly, in you know, we've sent bills to Ways and Means before, and I think our job is to recommend whether the policy is good or not, and then the Ways and Means folks, the budget folks, can decide whether there's, you know, they have to prioritize the funding. So
yeah.
I'll just say on the record that I would prefer to send it with a recommendation.
All right. So, the Chair, on the first two that we did, I had no problem with it being without recommendation just because of the subject matter and knowing that those things are really still in play. The one that's before us now, my preference would have it with a recommendation because I do believe this is a way that we can, in fact, save money in the system based on the testimony we heard from the individuals that testified. And so, Senator Cruz, I'm going to ask if you want to modify your amendment, your motion. If not, we'll vote on the motion, and we'll see where it goes, and then we'll take it from there.
Ms. Chair, I would...
Would you take a friendly amendment, I guess is what I'm asking.
You know, to as an accommodation, I think the fact that the bill's going will indicate committee support. I'm not personally as convinced as the Chair is that this is good policy, so I would prefer not to.
Okay.
And then if this fails, then another motion can be made.
That's right. So we have a motion before us. Those who are, I think on this one here, let's go ahead and call the roll just to make sure we get everyone right.
Could you please remind us what the motion is?
The motion at this point is to send Senate Bill 369 as amended, previously amended by the Dash 2s, to the floor with no recommendation, and ask the President's office to make a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
If I could, Mr. Chair, if Senator Dingfelder is opposed to this motion, and I'm opposed to it as well, I will submit to the.
No, we're going to be voting no anyway.
Okay.
You
okay.
Get
that's
the final
just
thing.
It.
That's
just
the way
let's
I see
just
it.
Do it. Okay.
I mean, if you're not going to be supporting sending, well, I mean, the last two, you sent a message. I assume you're going to send another message on this one. So the bottom line is, let's just get through it. All right. So you still don't want to make a friendly amendment. We got the motion before us. Please call the roll on this one.
Senator Bonaduce.
No.
Senator Dingfelder.
No.
Senator Whitson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz.
Aye.
Chair Brzezinski.
No. Motion fails.
Mr. Chair, would you like me to make a motion?
Yes, please.
Okay. Let's see how we're going to make this. We've already adopted the Dash 2s, so I move Senate Bill 369 as amended with the Dash 2s to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
All right. I think the motion that Senator Dingfelder just made was as follows. Senate Bill, she's moving Senate Bill 369 as amended by the Dash 2s to the floor with a due pass recommendation and ask the President for a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Yes, that's what I said.
All right. Discussion. Objections. Please note that Senator Cruz and Senator Wessett are objecting. Motion does carry.
Before you drop that, I'd like to make a comment. It really troubles me when we are equating our justice system with what we can afford. I know the times. I probably know the budget as well as anybody in the room does. But I do not think it is appropriate that we limit our access to justice and our determination of justice by our budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Whitson. Just for as a follow-up, my read of this bill maintains everything that's still before us. It just has more requirement of notice. And after a conviction, it would give the opportunities to see if these cases can be resolved instead of having what could be 20 to 25 years of litigation before we get to any resolution, if any. With that, Motion carries, and no carry was needed. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 3369. So there may be a need for some clarification on what we've done on the three bills regarding a need to maybe suspend the rules to actually move them down. I felt and thought that we had agreement that we did not need to ask for the rules to be suspended because this is a motion. I have another way that we can do this very easily. So I guess we should talk about whether or not we want to go through the exercise of suspending the rules. If not, then we will go ahead and just refer him down to the president's office. Back to the president's office. No recommendations and stuff. So
we can.
Let's stand at ease, please. All right, we're back on the record. What we're going to do is we're waiting for guidance from the Secretary of the Senate. We're on the record, and I'm going to first entertain a motion from my vice chair, Senator Cruz.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on Senate bills.
Reconsider the votes.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move that we reconsider the vote by which we passed Senate bills 369, 393, and 394 to the floor, and with a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
All right, Senator Cruz moves that we suspend the rules to reconsider the votes that we took and passing Senate Bill 369, 393, 394 to the floor, and then requesting a subsequent referral from the President's office to Ways and Means. Any discussion on this particular motion? So ordered.
Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the.
All right, why don't we
do
this?
Do this one at a time at this point?
What we're going to do here, we've cleared this. We're going to go ahead and we're going to work on the rules, the ones that are going to rules before we get to Ways and Means. Because we do have authority, subsequent authority from the President's office on a number of bills that are set for rules, and then when Mr. Taylor gets up here, we will be able to make sure we follow the procedure that we need for the ones that have not been pre-approved to go to Ways and Means or to Rules. All right? So at this point...
Mr. Chair, it's my understanding that what we've just done is undone the votes we did on the last three bills.
That's right. Correct.
And they're on the table.
That's correct.
Thank you.
That's correct.
Okay, so we're just going to...
So what we're going to do is, while we're waiting for Mr. Taylor and stuff sitting here, we're going to go ahead and start working other bills that we have, and then we'll come back to those.
Okay.
All right, with that, I'm going to go ahead and open up a work session on Senate Bill 395.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the committee adopted the Dash 1 amendments yesterday. It clarifies that felony driving under the influence is a Category 6 sentence under the guidelines grid. The chair, members of the committee, this is intended to, and the Dash 1 amendment sets forth how it's to be reimbursed. This is to address the issue in Measure 73, where there was a considerable ambiguity as to what the sentence would be for someone convicted for the third time. You have the Dash 1, which you adopted. I believe there's a Dash 2 that just came from Paul Snyder. That's basically what the bill is. I don't... By my chart, we do not have a fiscal yet on Dash 1. It's been requested.
All right. So at this point, what we have two amendments, and the question is, at this point, do we need to go ahead and move those amendments?
Well, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the Dash 1 and the ones we just received from Mr. Snyder are not complementary. They are considerable, significant policy difference between the two.
Yeah, so at this point, I would like to just move the bill to rules. We have prior approval from the President's office to send Senate Bill 395. So the chair would take a motion to move the bill to Senate Bill 395.
Mr. Chair, I'll move Senate Bill 395 to the President's desk and request a subsequent referral to the Committee on Rules.
Senator Cruz moves that we move Senate Bill 395 and refer it to the President's desk with a subsequent referral to Rules. Any discussion?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, if I would, just for the record, I'm hoping when that bill arrives in the Rules Committee, they take a serious look at the Dash 2 amendment. I think it's a relatively important amendment to the bill.
All right. Thank you very much. Any other discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And since it's going to rules, we need no carrier. Let's go on recess for a moment. So we're back on the record. We had a little discussion with our Secretary of the Senate to make certain we were following procedure, and I think we've got the rules as clear as mud as the Vice Chair has said earlier. So the Chair will take a motion.
Okay, we're back in. Okay, Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of taking action on Senate Bills 369, 393, and 394 without having the fiscal impact
statement.
We have the revenue, so on hand at this time.
All right, Senator Cruz moves that we suspend the rules to consider Senate Bill 369, 393, and 394 and deliberations to move those bills to Ways and Means without having the complete paperwork. Specifically, I believe we're currently missing the fiscal reports on each of those. All right.
Which one?
369. So.
Just got it.
All right, so.
The dash twos.
Right. We can still go ahead and do it. So.
Yeah, we'll deal with it there. So we got a motion there. Any objection? So ordered. All right, now let's go ahead and. Let's go ahead and do first 369, and we now have the fiscal, so we can just move this one straight through. All right, so what we're going to do is open our work session on Senate Bill 369.
Mr. Chairman, move Senate Bill 369 to shortcut what we've already gone through with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you.
To the floor with a request of subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
All right, Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 369 as it was amended by the dash twos to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And requesting a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Any discussions? Any objection? So ordered.
Yeah, we haven't changed our mind on them.
Two objections.
Yeah, there's still the two objections.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you had we got it.
Okay.
I'll put that down. That's a 3-2 vote there.
Okay.
All right. So we've closed the work session on 369. We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 393.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 393 to the floor without recommendation and request a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
All right, Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 393 to the floor without recommendation and requests the President to give a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Discussion?
Well, it's sort of a similar discussion to the last one where I would prefer the motion be with recommendation.
But we already did it this way once.
Well, realize what 393 and 394 are two different...
Yes.
Outcomes.
That's fine. That's fine.
All right.
I'll take a pass on this.
Thank you. All right. Any other discussion? We're moving really quick today, folks.
It's like at this rate.
And all right. Any objection to the motion? We have Senator Cruz, Senator Wissett objecting. Motion carries. Close the work session on 393. Open our work session on 394.
Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 394. To the floor without recommendation and request a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 394 to the floor. Let's see, that one, we did the dash ones. All right, the dash ones are already in.
Okay, as amended.
As amended by the dash ones to the floor without recommendation and with the request that the President refer it to Ways and Means. Any discussion? No discussion. Any objection? We have Senator Wissett, Senator Cruz objecting. Motion carries. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 394. We are now moving down to Senate Bill 420. Open the work session on Senate Bill 420.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you have in front of you the dash two amendments that just came in late yesterday. They replaced the bill. This is basically a bill. Currently, when someone is found guilty but for insanity, They are sent to the state hospital and under the jurisdiction of the PSFRB. The bill, the Dash 2 amendments would say that they go to the state hospital. The state hospital would make the determination rather than the PSFRB when they should be released from the hospital. Currently now, the hospital makes a recommendation which goes to PSFRB. It makes a decision. Basically, the hospital would make the decision. OHA would make the decision. The person would then go to, if released into the community, say to halfway house or something like that, or a group home, would then be under the jurisdiction of the PSRB.
All right. So the chair will take a motion on the Dash 2 amendments.
Chair.
Hold on.
No fiscal.
Are they on the dais? We only have the dash ones.
Okay, they were put on the system late last night because we got the amendments.
Okay, so did we receive them this morning? We did not. They're not on. Our staff did not have time this morning to download them.
All right, so we're going to close the work session on 4:20. This is one that we will be coming back. Ladies, if you'll make sure we keep score.
I don't know if you can give them to us.
We will come back.
So we don't have them.
We'll get them to you. As I said, we didn't get them until after...
Close the work session on 4:20, open the work session on 4:32.
Chair, members of the committee, the amendments replace the bill. We have not adopted the amendments. This is a bill that relates to... The amendment replaces a bill, and what this relates to is someone who was unable to aid and assist. Basically, what happens in these circumstances is that the person... requires a court when calculating the maximum time a person may be committed to aid and assist proceedings when the defendant is first committed and given to the defendant credit against each charge alleged in the accusatory instrument. What this basically is, they go to the state hospital. The state hospital, is, if they can make them better, will send them back to court for proceedings. They can be in that position for up to 3 years. After 3 years, they then make a decision whether they should be civilly committed or released or whatever. The issue here is that they can go to the hospital, go back to the jail. Sometimes they don't get the same medication. They then decompensate. They go back to the state hospital. Does that three-year period start to run or not? There's ambiguity there under these amendments, which came from Bob Jindal for Disabilities Rights Oregon, and you heard the counties testify in support of the amendments yesterday. It would be 3 years from when they first sent to the state hospital. And it will run for that period of time.
All right. In my understanding, yesterday when we had this bill for work session, we did, in fact, do the Dash 1s, or they still...
No, we have not done the Dash 1.
All right. So the chair will take a motion on the Dash 1 amendments.
Mr. Chairman, the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 432.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 1 amendments into Senate Bill 432. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And the chair will take a motion on the bill itself. Now, before we do that, let's make certain I check our cross sheets, 432. It looks to me that we're, unless it just came in this morning, we do not have the fiscal on it.
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
All right, so at this point, we have the Dash 1s that have been adopted. We will not be working the bill at this point. We'll be waiting to see if we get the amendment. With that, we'll close the work session at this point on 4:32. We will open a work session on 6:78.
Chair, members of the committee, this bill creates an affirmative defense for a juvenile who's taken a picture of their, his or her or someone else's intimate bodily parts and copied and disseminated the picture. This is basically the sexting bill that creates a separate crime and removes them from the onus provisions of displaying sexually explicit conduct of a minor, which carries a 70-month mandatory sentence. As I said, this is referred to the issue of what's commonly known as sexting. It doesn't apply if the person is using the pictures for profit or is using it for extortion.
All right. And on 6:78, it appears that we are waiting for the paperwork on the fiscal.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that's true.
All right. And the other part on this is?
This requires a two-thirds vote on the floor.
All right. Requires two-thirds vote on the floor. and this one is slated to go to the Rules Committee, and so we will take, I'll take a motion if you want us to suspend the rules.
Send it to Rules?
To send it to Rules.
Yeah, I don't think we need to, but I will, just to be safe. Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended on Senate Bill 678 for the purpose of referring the bill to the Committee on Rules.
Senator Cruz moves that we suspend the rules for consideration of sending Senate Bill 678 to the Rules Committee. Discussion. The reason I believe we needed a motion to suspend the rules is because we don't have all the paperwork based on what we just heard.
Right.
So I think because of that, we need to have the rule suspension. Any other discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I have moved Senate Bill 678 be referred to the Senate President and request a subsequent referral to the Committee on Rules with a due pass recommendation. Or should I, can I do that?
I think this one can go to the floor. This can go to the floor. Go to the floor, but with, I mean, the motion could be to the floor, and with asking the President for a subsequent referral.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
before. Okay,
yeah.
Mr. Chair, then I'm.
Let
me start over.
Okay.
Okay. Withdraw everything I just said. Back from day one.
don't test me. I got a comment, but I'm not going to say it. We're still on page one.
That's a heck of a straight line, Floyd. You should have used it. Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 678. I move Senate Bill 678 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and request the President refer the bill to the Committee on Rules.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 678 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and request the President consider sending 678 to the Rules Committee. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. All right, we're on page, all right, Senate Bill 729. I'm going to open up the work session on Senate Bill 729.
Chair, members of the committee, we've adopted the Dash 1 amendments, and it removes the sunset provision in Section 21 of the Senate Bill, House Bill 3508, which allows a reduction of the period of active probation supervision. Dash 1 replaces the bill, sets a policy of encouraging community corrections agencies to focus staff, resources, and sanctions on the offenders who need the most monitoring, allows the active period of supervision to be reduced up to 50% for good behavior. This, I believe, if I remember correctly, came as a recommendation from the people who work in this area.
All right.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Question, Council.
Yes, go ahead.
Bill, what happens if this bill does not pass?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, then the sunset provision goes away, and it would limit the ability to, it would require more supervision. But the theory behind this is that on probation...
How much more supervision? What precisely, what would it do? If we don't remove the sunset, what happens?
I guess it would depend on what the amount of probation was. So this gives the flexibility to reduce the probation by moving to inactive probation. It's based on the theory that if someone's behaved for the first 6 months, a year on probation, they're not likely to reoffend. And if you particularly look at the amendment, what they're looking for is the flexibility to move their supervision towards people who need the supervision. In some regards, we penalize doing the right thing in the sense that as it relates to funding, they were moving from active to inactive supervision. They weren't getting paid as much. So you could argue that keep them inactive and you could keep your 1145 money.
Thank you for the explanation.
Okay.
No, we don't have to.
So on 729, we do not have all the paperwork. We are still waiting for the fiscal. So the chair would take a motion with that understanding.
We already adopted the Dash 1 on the
right.
20th, right?
Right.
Okay.
So when this goes to the floor,
all right.
Or does it go to Ways and Means?
Ways and Means.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of referring Senate Bill 729 as amended by the Dash 1 amendments to the floor with a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Cruz moves that we suspend the rules to consider sending Senate Bill 729 as amended by the Dash 1s to the floor with a do pass recommendation and request the President consider a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Any discussion on that motion? Any objection to that motion? So ordered.
Chair, I move Senate Bill 729 as amended by the Dash 1 amendments to the floor with the do pass recommendation and a request subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
All right. Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 729 as amended by the Dash 1s to the floor with a do pass recommendation request and also requesting that the President consider moving and referring the bill to Ways and Means. Discussion? Objections? So ordered. And that will close the work session on 729. I see Senator Morris is here. We're going to advance down to Senate Bill 961. Open a work session on Senate Bill 961.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 961, and I have, I believe, the Dash 1 amendments in the file here. And it voids construction agreements provisions that require a party in the agreement to waive the right to seek indemnity, contribution, or reimbursement for damages due to negligence of another party, oftentimes seen in the issue of general contractor and subcontractor.
All right. So, Senator Morris, why don't you come forward? I just want to make sure we got everything on the record here. I believe the Dash 1s is what we want to be moving. I understand that we do have the paperwork that's necessary to move the bill. I see minimum impact statement listed on my cheat sheet and no revenue. Is that correct, counsel?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, cheat sheet's accurate. That's correct.
All right. Senator Cruz, Senator Morris, regarding the Dash 1s, that is what the work group has reached as to, for this point, for the bill to move forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Frank Morris, represent Lynn and Benton counties in the Bergen State Senate. We have had several work groups. We have landed on the Dash 1 amendments. The construction committee of the Oregon State Bar is taking no position on the Dash 1s. There is still a division in terms of getting the language exactly right. There is a universal commitment by all the parties that this is a need that needs to be addressed. And what I would ask is, in the event that you move it, the bill to the floor and subsequently across to the House, we will continue to work to find that, and I think it's a very small fix, that will bring the bill back, hopefully for concurrence, to you, Mr. Chair. If you choose to move it to rules, we will do the exact same thing. We will continue to work to find that correct language. The whole issue of 30.140 and the Walsh case, the Supreme case, there is no one's desire to unwind that. And so the issue at hand is to make sure that the language does not reconstruct that argument, but focuses more exclusively on the issues that are the issues that surround a third-party claim in workers' comp.
All right. Thank you. And what the chair was intending to do is ask for a motion to send it to the floor. I think we put on the record, and basically I understand at this point the parties are in good faith working to come up the language, making certain the Walsh decision is not impacted by the legislation, and that we will have an opportunity to, let's say, concur upon them doing that. With that, the chair would take a motion to basically, I think we need to adopt the Dash 1s first.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I'll move the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 961.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 1 amendments into Senate Bill 961. Discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I know Senator Moore said this, but just a confirmation that the bar is at least neutral on this, and David Nebel is shaking his head in the affirmative. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So the bar is neutral. And any other discussion or comments? Any objection to the motion? So ordered.
I move Senate Bill 961 as amended by the Dash 1 amendment to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
All right, Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 961 as amended by the dash ones to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Discussion.
Chair, I think you're, this is a wise move. We don't need to overburden rules with something that could probably be relatively easily fixed in a work group on the House side.
I agree. Any other questions or comments? Any objection to the motion? So ordered. Senator Morris will be the carrier on this bill. And Senator Morris, regarding the other bill that you have before us, we will need to speak before we take any action on that. So I'll catch up with you. All righty. So at this point, we're going to go back up to our place on the agenda. I believe we're starting on page 2 now, Senate Bill 730. I'm going to go ahead and open up a work session on Senate Bill 730. And this one here, with the intent that it will be going to Ways and Means, looking at the... looking at the paperwork, it appears that 730 does in fact have the paperwork. I believe fiscal has a fiscal impact and no revenue. So, Council, why don't you go over what we have on 730?
Chair, members of the committee, 730 has no amendments, continues a limitation of 60 days a court may impose and sanction on a person who has received a sentence of presumptive probation and has violated the conditions of that probation unless the person was convicted of a new crime. Chair, members of the committee.
All right.
Applies to crimes committed after July 1, 2011, effective upon passage.
Chair will entertain a motion on this.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 730 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation and request a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 730 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation and requesting the President consider a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Discussion. Any objection? So ordered. Close the work session on 7:30. Open up a work session on 868.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, 868 addresses an issue of whether Measure 11 applies to someone under the age of 15 when they committed the crime. You may remember this issue yesterday. You have two amendments in front of you, the dash 1 and dash 2. At least I hope in front of you they came in late last night. If they're not there, we'll get them to you. I can tell you what they are. The amendments replace the bill. Both the 1 and 2 state the crimes listed in ORS 137-700 and 137-707, primarily Measure 11, do not apply to persons who committed the crime under the age of 15. The dash 1 applied to persons sentenced on or after the effective date of the act, so there's retroactive application. The dash 2 applied to crimes committed on or after the effective date of this act, and has an emergency clause, Mr. Chairman of the committee. What happens in this situation and in the court case, individual committed certain crimes when they were under the age of 12, and that was dismissed. They committed these crimes when they were just over the age of 12. They were not, the crimes were not discovered until a person was 19. They were then charged as an adult, convicted as an adult, Measure 11 sentence applied. Unfortunately, at the trial court, the defense counsel did not raise the issue. Therefore, when it went to the Court of Appeals as to whether it would apply or not, the court said it was not raised in an appeal. It was not clear and substantial error and did not address the issue. I believe we have unanimous consent in all the people involved yesterday, at least as it relates to not applying to people under the age of 15. I'm not sure where they stand as it relates to the retroactive application.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
And Council, we don't have the amendments, and I just wonder if you could say again what the difference is between the 1 and the 2, which one is it?
Chairman of the committee, maybe the best thing that I can do, if hopefully I have the amendments, I know I read them this morning.
And we don't have them either, us.
Yeah, I know I have them.
Dinosaurs don't have them either,
and
so.
Let me read Section 1, and then I could read, because Section 1 is the... It is the same in both bills. ORS 137-700 and 137-707, and that's the two provisions that list out Measure 11 offenses. One is a sentencing, the other one applies to addresses to juveniles. Do not apply to a person who is under the age of 15 years of age at the time the person committed the crime listed in ORS 137-700 or 137-707. Then Section 1 of this Act applies on the dash 1 to persons sentenced on or after the effective date of this 2001 Act for crimes committed before or after the effective date of this 2001 Act. Okay.
All right.
So that applies retroactively.
right, here's the thing. It sounds like none of us have the amendments in front of us.
Right.
So we're going to table 868 until everyone gets those, and we have a chance to, it looks like they're coming in right now. But I still think there's an issue as to the retroactive, and so I think this is one that we should carry over, and we will talk to those involved so we are doing what we intend to do.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
It would appear to me that the retroactivity would probably have a significant fiscal, because that would seem to open the door for a whole bunch of look-back. So,
and I think that's one of the issues that we need to look at, is, and also knowing what we did with 3508 as to the rescinding, not knowing the number, et cetera. So I know that the interested parties are here. I would prefer us take this up later.
Sure.
And so because of that, I'm going to go ahead and close the work session on Senate Bill 868. And Christy, if you'll mark that down as one that we will be coming back to. And I'm going to go ahead and open up a work session on Senate Bill 875.
Mr. Chair, as members of the committee, 875 has no amendments, makes strikes a recognition of picket line of labor organizations by Assistant Attorney Generals unlawful. You may remember the hearing on this bill yesterday.
All right, and let's see, 875. It looks like everything is, let's see, the fiscal is still in progress, and so we'll hold off on this one, and we'll come back to it and see what we get later today. All right, so we'll close the work session with Senate Bill 875, and we've already taken care of 961, so we're dropping down to Senate Bill 608.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this has a prior referral to Ways and Means Committee. This is establishes, and I believe the Dash 1 amendments are, I'm not sure if it, this is Drew's bill, and I'm not sure if they've been adopted. But this establishes the Rural Medical Liability Subsidy Fund and places it in the state treasury. You have the Dash 1 amendments in front of you.
I have that we adopted the Dash 4s on 413.
Dash 4s. Okay, I'm sorry.
Already. Yeah. Yes,
got it.
We're just waiting for...
He's on set.
Yeah, we actually have, it looks to me, we have a fiscal impact on the Dash 4s.
That's correct.
And we already have a subsequent referral.
Right.
So we do not need to suspend the rules. We have the paperwork. So, Chair, we'll take a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 608, as amended by the Dash 4s, to the floor with a new pass recommendation and request a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
All right, Senator Cruz moves that we move Senate Bill 608 as amended by the Dash 4s to the floor with a due pass recommendation and also with the subsequent referral to Ways and Means as previously by prior reference. All right, so any discussion? Any objection?
Well, wait a minute. Joke. He said it was a good bill.
I should.
Yeah, let me get the gavel down. And that motion carries, and it's on its way to the president and hopefully on Ways and Means.
Where it's expected.
Okay. So we're going to skip 819. I need to speak to the proponent of the bill. Senate Bill 186 is not going to be moving forward, so it is off the agenda.
186.
And I'm now opening up a work session on Senate Bill 346.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we need to stand at ease so we can change counsel.
Okay.
I'm off the hot seat.
For the day?
No, I'll be back.
Yeah, but I mean, anything else on the rest of the day?
No.
Okay. So you got four comebacks.
We have time to build.
Right. Mr. Chair.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and open up the work session on Senate Bill 346.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 346 was previously heard on March 24th and again on April 18th, but I believe that was just a carryover. It has Dash 1 and Dash 2 amendments, both of which are ready. As to each of those, there is no revenue impact, and a fiscal statement has issued that is indeterminate as to each. There is no subsequent referral. This bill exempts audio recordings of 911 callers' voices from disclosure under public records law unless public interest requires it, permits unrestricted disclosure of the transcript, and creates exceptions for law enforcement, criminal defense, and training purposes. The Dash 1 amendment makes reference to criminal and civil discovery statutes, and the Dash 2 amendment provides a couple of alternatives for requesters, one that they may sign a non-disclosure agreement and receive a copy of the tape, or they can listen to the tape and receive a transcript with a without the non-disclosure agreement. The Dash 1 amendments were introduced into the bill on the 18th?
The 20th.
The 20th?
Yeah.
Thank you, Senator.
Oh,
they have been adopted in the measure, and then we closed the work session so that Senator Cruz, I believe, could have an opportunity to scrutinize the Dash 2s.
All right. Here's where, from my notes of what we had, we did, in fact, adopt the Dash 1s. We were waiting for giving everyone an opportunity to look at the Dash 2s. This one I'm going to carry over till later this afternoon because there's some other discussions that are ongoing. So we will close the work session, but with the intent that it will come back this afternoon or before the end of this morning. So we'll close the work session on 346, and now we're going to go ahead and open up a work session on 378.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, Senate Bill 378. Previously heard on February 10th, April 14th, 19th, and 20th. This measure has no revenue impact and may have a fiscal impact. A statement has not yet issued on the Dash 3 amendment. I'm sorry, statement has not yet issued on the Dash 3, that's correct, which was adopted into the measure just yesterday. This is a consensus amendment. Parties appeared yesterday, Ms. Meyer for District Defense Lawyers Association and Ms. Kushwa for District Attorneys Association. They have agreement as to the Dash 3s, which modify the deadline for notice of enhancement facts to no later than 60 days after a defendant is arraigned or waives arraignment or is held following a preliminary hearing, or to 14 days before trial, whichever is earlier, unless they agree otherwise or good cause is shown for a later date. And the parties are here, I think, would be available to testify if the committee wished to encourage suspension of the rules in this case, given that they are consensus amendments.
All right, so 378. So that is that the Dash 3s?
The Dash 3s, and they were moved into the bill on yesterday, the 20th.
All right, and then why don't we go ahead and have the individuals come forward talking about the consensus amendments so we can figure out where we're going before we go there. How's that sound? Okay, so we have a work session open on 378, and I understand that the interested parties have continued to do some work. And so with that information, why don't you kind of share with us where we're at.
Thank you, Chair Prasansky, members of the committee. Gail Meyer on behalf of the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. The Dash 3s fully comport with the agreed language and concepts reached by the District Attorneys Association and OCDLA. We're in favor of the bill as amended by the Dash 3, and anything this committee can do to make sure it continues in its life cycle, we would appreciate that.
All right, thank you. Elizabeth?
Good morning, Chair Prasansky, members of the committee. Elizabeth Kushwa for the Oregon District Attorneys Association. We've worked long and hard on this, and we are absolutely comfortable with the Dash 3s.
All right, with that, and there's no other conceptual stuff we need to be dealing with.
Correct.
The Dash 3s does it.
This is it.
All right, and so I'm looking at the paperwork, and it appears that we don't have all the paperwork at this point. We're missing the fiscal. And so we could either suspend the rules to move the bill forward, or we can wait and see if it catches up before we conclude.
Ask a question?
Yes, you may.
Are we expecting that this is going to cost much, if anything?
Chair Prasansky, Senator Cruz, the fiscal determination that the district attorneys made was indeterminate. We would be probably doing the same kind of investigation, only probably earlier in the process, but I can't determine if that would be any more extensive investigation, so it was indeterminate.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I wanted that on the record, and I move to suspend the rules to pass Senate Bill 378 to the floor without a fiscal statement.
All right, I think I just want to make sure the Dash 3s are in the bill at this point.
Yes,
Mr. Chair.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we didn't leave those out. All right, so we got a motion before us to move Senate Bill 37, or to suspend the rules to consider moving Senate Bill 378 as amended by the dash threes to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any objection to the procedural motion? All right, so order.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 378 as amended by the dash three amendments to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz now moves Senate Bill 378 as amended by the dash threes to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Chair will carry this one unless someone else wants it.
Okay.
All right, Senator Dingfelder will be the carrier on 378. And we'll close the work session on 378, open the work session on Senate Bill 408.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 408 was previously heard on April the 12th and yesterday the 20th. It modifies provisions related to juvenile sex offenders. It has a dash three amendment, which makes the following modifications. It removes the registration requirement for juveniles adjudicated A misdemeanors. It requires juveniles to register for all felonies. It allows juveniles adjudicated of C felonies to apply for relief from obligation to report within 30 days of the end of the jurisdiction in their case. And if that relief is granted by the court, then it would end along with the end of jurisdiction, not any sooner. I believe the parties are present also on this measure because, again, it is a consensus amendment, the dash three, and we are missing a fiscal. There is no revenue impact and no subsequent referral. And they would encourage suspension of the rules in this case because they have agreement as to the dash threes.
All right. So with that, does anyone want to have the parties come forward with anything on the record? Yes.
If they're coming up, I'm just going to ask who the parties be.
Come on up.
I believe it's Mr. Chair, Senator Bonamici, Mr. McKechnie was present earlier.
Council, could you pick your microphone up? We're just having a little difficulty.
Sorry, Senators.
I'm getting old.
And the speakers are going that way, not this way. Okay, so if you would be so kind to identify yourself and just let us know that you've got a consensus in the dash threes.
Yes. Chair Brozanski, members of the committee, for the record, Elizabeth Cushwell for the Oregon District Attorneys Association. We do have consensus on the dash three amendments. We work very hard and appreciate the work of Josh Nasby and Legislative Council working with us. So we are there on the dash threes.
Chair Prozanski, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Mark McKechnie, Director of Youth Rights and Justice. To echo Elizabeth's comments, we worked very hard to get to this point with the dash threes, and we have consensus on them. I will also point out that the original fiscal that was done on this bill showed minimal impact. The most significant impact, which was minimal, was to remove the currently registered youth who are no longer required to register, and that was a minimal impact. This version actually dramatically reduces the number of youth who will be taken off the registry for misdemeanors. The original bill included C felonies, so there are less than 300 youth who will come off the registry who are currently on now. The earlier version would have removed about 1,000 youth, so that any cost should be even less than it was originally.
All righty. The chair will take a motion regarding suspending the rules.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash three amendment to Senate Bill 408.
All right, Senator Cruz moves the dash threes into Senate Bill 408. Discussion?
I have a question, Senator Council. It's my understanding that this actually closed or reopens that window that's closed from the between 2 and 5 years where. What else does this amendment dash three do?
That's my understanding, and I would defer to Mr. McKechnie, whose name I mispronounced earlier. I apologize for that.
That's fine. Senator Witsit, Chair Prozanski, it removes juveniles adjudicated of misdemeanors in juvenile court from the requirement to register. That includes both those who are currently registered as well as prospectively. It moves up the date. Basically, All youth now have to wait 2 years post-jurisdiction to apply for relief. Mm-hmm. This created a provision for youth with the lowest level felony, Class C felony adjudications, to begin the process as soon as 30 days prior to the end of jurisdiction, with the and if it's granted, they may be relieved as soon as the day that jurisdiction ends, but they may also apply later. The A and B felony adjudicated youth still have to wait 2 years as they do now, but you're correct, that 3-year time limit that they've been facing currently will go away, so they can, once they've waited the 2 years, they can apply at any time thereafter.
All right. Any other discussion? We have a motion regarding the adoption of the Dash 3s. Any objection to the Dash 3s? So ordered.
Chair, I move the rules be suspended, excuse me, for the purpose of sending Senate Bill 408 as amended by the Dash 3s to the floor without a fiscal statement.
All right, Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 408 as amended by the Dash 3s to the floor with a do pass recommendation. And since it does not have a fiscal. All right, so that's the motion before us. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 408 as amended by the Dash 3 amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right, Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 408 as amended by the Dash 3s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion.
That was reasonable.
Senator, I will support the bill, but with the caveat that after I read the amendment, I may change my mind.
All right. So with that caveat, any other discussion?
Just, Mr. Chair, I'm going to support the bill as well and understand this is a carefully crafted compromise, and it looks like policy.
Great. And I just wanted to add thank you to the parties for working together, because I do think this is a good policy and appreciate the fact that they've come together.
Great. Thank you very much. So is there any objection to the motion that's before us? Not seeing any. Motion carries. The chair will carry 408 on the floor, and we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 408, and we're going to go ahead and open up. Let's see, before we do that, let's see here. All right, I'm going to come back to Senate Bill 783, and we're going to go ahead and open up a work session on Senate Bill 926.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Measure Senate Bill 926 was previously heard yesterday. It clarifies a provision of law that makes certain amounts in a debtor's account not subject to garnishment, and it doesn't affect the ability of a debtor to claim an exemption provided by law for other amounts deposited in the account. Dash 3 amendments were received and I believe distributed at the dais or may have just been available today that I believe replace the measure, and a supplemental one-page document has been provided by Sybil Hebb to explain the Dash 3 amendments. So there is no revenue yet received, no fiscal yet received. There is a subsequent referral approval from the President's office to move this bill to rules because it needs to be fully vetted. The explanation of the Dash 3 amendments that replace the measure are that the measure is being used to align Oregon law with a change in federal rules that takes effect on May 1st. It hasn't yet been heard, and the parties, the Bankers Association and the advocacy groups, would like it to be heard in rules. And it has, again, it has that permission from the President's office.
You may, if you move your microphone closer around, so we'll make sure it gets recorded.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill, Senate Bill 926, arose because last session we passed Senate Bill 731 dealing with garnishment, and after we passed our bill, there are new federal regulations, and so this bill is intended to align, as counsel said, state law with the new federal requirements, and we weren't sure that we needed it until late in the session, which is why it's here quite late, because the federal regulations are becoming effective May 1st. So thank you for hearing it. I hope we can get it to a place where we can get it through the body, because I think it's important. And I know I want to thank Sybil and Kevin Christensen and the Bankers Association and everyone who's been working on this to make sure that, that it gets in good shape to go forward. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, does this need more work? I mean, that would be my question. If we've got a consensus,
should we have?
Yeah. Yeah. Please come forward,
Kevin. I think it's in pretty good shape.
Well, my understanding is there is still a little bit needed to be done, and I was going to be.
This came out yesterday, so
I was going to move this into rules. But before we do that, we want to make sure we got everything squared. All right. Who wants to go first?
Co-chairs, members of the committee, or
please pull
sorry.
The mic down a little bit. Thank you.
Chair Prasansky, members of the committee, Sybil Hebb with the Oregon Law Center, and I very much appreciate the time that you all have made for this late in the session, and appreciate the work of the Bankers Association, and also especially Dave Hendricks and Legislative Council in helping us to get this done. The Dash 3s are a consensus provision of amendments that would replace the bill that do put into effect the new federal rule provisions and make them applicable to Oregon state statute, or replace the Oregon state statute that we passed in 2009. There are inconsistencies currently. This bill will resolve those inconsistencies in a way that's good for consumers and for creditors, and I'm sorry, for lending institutions, which I think is a rare thing this session. And so the Dash 3s are good to go. We would love it if the committee could adopt those Dash 3s before sending the bill to rules, and that would then provide the groundwork for the discussion in that committee. I'm happy to answer any questions if you have about the specifics of the bill.
Mr. Chair, if I could, Sybil, my question was, if this is a consensus product, why does it need to go to rules?
Chair Prasansky and members, it does not have a fiscal yet. The amendments just came back. There isn't a revenue.
That's true, but if we suspend the rules, we can go ahead and move it forward. But I heard there's still a little bit more work that needed to be done. So if it still needs a little bit more work, instead of trying to send it out, we're just going to send it to rules.
That would be our preference.
All right, then that's what we're going to do.
Okay.
Okay.
Chair,
just
a question.
Yes.
Thank you. Regarding, heard what Senator Bonamici said, that the rules, do they take effect on May 1st? So are they still draft, and I'm assuming they were posted in the CFR, and now they're taking, there's a comment period. So is May 1st the date that they take effect, or is that the close of the comment period, or what's that date?
Chair, Kevin Christensen, Oregon Bankers Association, Chair Brzezinski, Senator Dingfelder. This is a little bit of an oddity in terms of May 1st, the rule goes into effect. However, they have left the comment period open until May 24th, which is, I will save the commentary on the folks in D.C., but that is. And to echo one of the other comments that was made, I think there are a couple of additional tweaks. It would be our preference to send to rules. However, I think we're well on our way to trying to finish this thing up. So.
Just a quick follow-up for Kevin. So that when you say a few additional tweaks, I just want to make sure that those are minor tweaks.
Our council is in the process. I mean, given the late hour of the session when this came up, it's trying to digest it all and make sure we do have it right. So I don't anticipate much at all in terms of tweaking.
And Chair Prasansky and Senator Dingfelder, members, I can just add to that. I did, and Mr. Sherman, who's legal counsel with the Bankers Association, did raise a question yesterday. I'm in agreement with his concern. We just need to talk to Legislative Council to see if there's actual a change that needs to be made. And then the other thing that I wanted to just make clear is that we have talked to the collectors' associations and the marquees. I know they're in the building here, or in the room here. And, of course, I think, you know, we've been talking to them about all of this, but I think they probably would like to be heard in the Rules Committee as well. So I think I don't expect any major objections there, and they have been involved, and we've shared all of this draft language with them, but it would be better to be able to edit. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I won't even try to figure out why the commentary closes after the vote is going to effect.
All right, so why don't we do this? Let's go ahead and adopt the Dash 3s.
Chair, I move the Dash 3 amendment to Senate Bill 926.
All right, Senator Cruz moves the Dash 3 amendments in the 926. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of referring Senate Bill 926 as amended by Dash 3 amendments to the floor with a subsequent referral to the Committee on Rules.
All right. Senator Cruz moves that we suspend the rules to consider sending Senate Bill 926 as amended. My understanding is the dash threes, the dash ones also already in there, they're not. Okay, so just as amended by the dash threes. Mm-hmm.
We just want the threes.
Yeah, I just want to make sure, because I got a dash one over here. I want to make sure we don't have that.
I don't think we adopted it.
Okay. No. So, suspend the rules for the purpose of considering it to be moved to rules. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 926 as amended by the dash three amendments to the floor with a due pass, but do a few minor tweaks.
You're on the video.
And request the President refer the bill to the Committee on Rules.
Okay. Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 926 as amended by the dash threes to the floor with a due pass recommendation, asking the President consider sending it to rules for some minor tweaks, fixes. Any discussion? And we don't know how to define minor. We'll find out when everything comes out. Any objection? So ordered. All right. At this point, I'm going to stand at ease for a moment. All right, I'm back from the principal's office, and we're ready to get started once again. Read between the lines on that one. Okay, we're going to go ahead and let's see, we've taken care of 926, and the next one we have is Senate Bill 934. The chair is going to make a statement on this regarding this bill. I had amendments that I was going to bring forward today on 934. There's been a lot of people in the building who were concerned and interested as to what those amendments were going to be. I have decided that it is, let's say, not ready for prime time because we have not had the opportunity because of the lateness of our time frame to be able to actually have public hearings on two components of what would have been in those amendments that were not before the committee. In fact, actually a third one. So this is what's happening. 934 is not ready for prime time, so it is not going to be heard today. But we are, in fact, scheduled for next Thursday, April 28th, what will be kind of our day for the three bills that we currently have from the House. This will be, next week will be our first opportunity to take new, or taking up House bills. So for those who are here on 934, which was dealing with different firearms and other gun bills and other rights, please put on your schedule Thursday, April 28th, when we will have House Bill 2787, House Bill 2792, House Bill 2797, which have been assigned to this committee. We will be taking testimony not only on those three bills, but on the concepts of guns off campus, the school campuses, and how felons get their gun rights back. That's what we'll be doing next Thursday. So if you're interested in those issues, please be here on Thursday, April 28th. So with that, we're now going to go back up to the top of page 2. We had one that we were holding to come back to. I've got a note that's been passed to me. So I'm now going to open up Senate Bill 868. And what I understand is that we have a agreement between ODAA, Oregon Justice Department, I guess, and OCDLA regarding the Dash 1 amendments. Remember, we had two amendments that we were waiting to get the information on, and my understanding that the parties have agreed to move forward with the Dash 1s. If you put the microphone down,
sure,
yes, you can.
Sure, clarify something. As it says in Section 2, this applies to persons sentenced on or after the effective date for crimes committed before, on, or after the effective date. So if you're in prison, that's too bad. So it's sentenced after the effective date, regardless of when the crime committed.
So in other words, this would be prospective going forward based on...
Which amendment? The two or the ones?
That's the ones.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
It's my understanding, based on the testimony, that this is a pretty unusual circumstance that happens, and that it isn't really that often that someone is convicted as an or charged as at an older age with a crime that was committed as a minor. That it's not a lot of circumstances under the. Is that correct?
That is correct. So, are you wanting to know regarding how many individuals may be caught in this scenario that
correct.
Are currently
in
custody?
Raised about what the fiscal might be and what would have to be reconsideration of cases.
Well, you all want to come forward? Put some stuff on the record since you all have been working on this issue.
Good morning, Chair Prozanski, members of the committee. For the record, Elizabeth Kushwal for the Oregon District Attorneys Association. Senator Bonamici, in response to your question, we had a conversation with the Appellate Division of the Department of Justice yesterday. These are very, very few. We could only think of one other in the system at this time. So I can't anticipate that this is going to be have any sort of fiscal.
And if I might interject also, Senator Prozanski, members of the committee, Gail Meyer on behalf of the Criminal Defense Lawyers Association, we see reduction in defense costs with this. The OPDS reimburses people at a higher rate for Measure 11 sentencing exposure than they do for guideline sentencing exposure, and there may possibly be a decrease in some DOC beds because you wouldn't have mandatory minimum sentencing apply.
All right, just want to put on the record also, I assume that the Dash 2s are not ones that you wanted to go forward with just because of, all the potential impacts that would go. And I think that one was retro.
Chair Prasansky, members of the committee. Actually, it's the dash one we want to go forward with, and it does not require any resentencings,
okay,
the dash
right.
one.
I understand
it,
that.
Yeah, it applies sentencings prospectively forward. The dash twos...
Would have.
No.
Nope.
The dash twos effectively wouldn't make the impact of this felt for many years out.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the clarification. So the chair will take a motion on the dash ones.
Mr. Chairman, move the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 868.
All right. Senator Cruz moves the dash ones into Senate Bill 868. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And it looks like on 868 we have minimum impact from fiscal and no revenue.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I think that's on the original bill.
That's on the original
okay.
bill.
Okay. All right.
It obviously doesn't change it, but nonetheless, we don't have the paper one for the dash.
All right. You want to go ahead and suspend?
Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of passing Senate Bill 868 as amended by the dash one amendments to the floor without either the fiscal or revenue statements.
All right, Senator Cruz moves that we suspend the rules to consider moving Senate Bill 868 to the floor without the necessary fiscal and revenue statements. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, on this one, because I think Mr. Taylor's right, the change in the fiscal and revenue will be zero, if any. There's a comfort level in doing this.
All right. Thank you very much. Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 868 as amended by the dash one amendments to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
All right. Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 868 as amended by the dash ones to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And the chair will carry this unless Senator Bonamici wanted it. I'm not sure this was one of yours or not. I'm going
to
go ahead and
carry it.
Okay, we'll put Bonamici as a carrier on 868. Thank you. And we'll close the work session on 868. And now we're going to drop back on the bottom of page 2. And I believe we're now at Senate Bill 69.
Page 3. 69?
Yep. And we're going to go ahead and open up the work session on Senate Bill 69. Yeah, it should be at the bottom.
Thank you, Chair Prasansky, members of the committee. Senate Bill 69 pertains in a fairly comprehensive way to the regulation of fireworks. We discussed this briefly yesterday and heard short testimony from Don Addition and Nita Phillips. There are dash two amendments. I suppose technically this is 69A. Senator Cruz requested some additional time to review the lengthy amendment, and so we now come back with a minimal fiscal and no projected revenue.
So are we considering a dash two?
Dash twos.
Dash A2.
Dash A2. Thank you, Senator.
All right. Chair will take a motion on Senate Bill 69A.
Mr. Chair, I move the A2 amendment to Senate Bill 69A be adopted.
All right.
First,
All right. Senator Cruz moves the adoption of the A2 amendment into Senate Bill 69. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And Senator Cruz?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 69A as amended by the dash 2 amendment to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
All right, Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 69 as amended by the A2 amendments to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Got Senator Cruz and Senator Wissett objecting. Motion carries. Chair will carry. And we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 69. Open the work session on Senate Bill 376.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, Senate Bill 376 would create a new crime of aiding another person committing suicide. There are Dash 3 amendments currently before the committee. The Dash 3 amendments make a couple substantive modifications. First, they elevate what had been in the Dash 1 amendment a Class C felony to a Class B felony. Second of all, they make modification to the mental state necessary for the commission of the crime. In Dash 3, a person commits the crime of aiding another person to commit suicide if the person intentionally sells or transfers any substance or object to another person, knowing that the other person intends to use the substance or object to commit suicide. With the Dash 3 amendments, this is projected to have a minimal expenditure impact and no revenue impact.
All right. So Chair will take a motion on the Dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 376.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 3 amendment, Senate Bill 376.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 3 amendments in Senate Bill 376. Discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I recall this hearing quite well, and I believe I asked this question, and I think I want to ask it again about the Dash 3 amendments. I know that the voters of the state have enacted a death with dignity, and I just want to ask you, as the sponsor of the bill, I wanted to ask if you had some comments about whether this interferes with what the voters have stated in enacting the death.
Yeah, I'll have counsel read the part. There are three parts where it says it does not interfere, and specifically regarding your question for death with dignity, it does not interfere and exempts out. And counsel, why don't you put on the record the others?
Absolutely. And Chair Przanski, Senator Bonamici, Section 2, Sub 2, details the provisions which would be exempted. First of all, any individual who's acting pursuant to a court order, an advance directive, or power of attorney for health care pursuant to ORS 505. 127505 to 127660. This pertains to the requirements imposed on healthcare organizations relating to the rights of individuals to make healthcare decisions. ORS 127505 to 127660. Oh, sorry, I just read that one in. That's the same section. Or a person acting in accordance with the provisions of 127.800 to 127897. That is the Oregon Death with Dignity Act.
Thank you.
All right. Other discussions?
I have two questions, actually. Mr. Chair, what is the purpose from going to a Class C to a Class B felony on this?
If you remember the testimony that we had from Alex Gardner, the district attorney for Lane County, he said for actions by district attorneys, if you wanted to actually get someone that may be involved in this activity from out of the state, they would need to be able to extradite the individual, and they extradite on Class Bs and As. Also, I would tell you that the, not a companion statute, but the statute of manslaughter in the second degree, that does have a provision that if someone was aiding or assisting in someone committing suicide, that is also listed as a Class B felony. Other questions?
Thank you for that explanation. Second question regards the term object. Intentionally sells or transfers any substance or object. Could that be construed to be a weapon? Could that object be construed to be a firearm?
I think object is broad enough that it could, in fact, include that. And I say the scenario that it would apply, if someone said, I have a gun here that I want to sell you for you can commit suicide, and they are selling that object, whatever that object is, with the intention and knowledge that the person is going to commit suicide, then it would be covered. The optimal part, and counsel, correct me if I'm wrong, is that the item that is being transferred, sold, or given to someone is given with the knowledge that the person is going to use that item, action, whatever it is, to commit the crime or to commit the act of suicide.
Thank you for putting that on the record.
That's correct.
Yep. All right. Any other questions? Any other comments? Any objection to the Dash 3 amendments into 376? Not seeing any. So ordered.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 376 as amended by the Dash 3 amendments to the floor with the
All right, Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 376 as amended by the Dash 3s to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, your explanation on the record, I think, was gave me the comfort level I needed.
Yeah, I appreciate that. The bottom line is on this, there are many things, many objects or things that could, in fact, be used. It's sort of the intent of the person that's transferring it with the knowledge that the person is going to, is wanting to commit that act. It is not to somehow circumvent any other type of exchanges that are legal, lawful, and permissible under the law. Any other discussion or comments? Any objection to the motion that's before us? So order. Chair will carry 376 to the floor. We'll close the work session on 376. Open the work session on 382.
Chair Brzozinski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 382 affects how lien claimants would send notice of a filed lien claim to mortgagees that comply with the requirement to record their name and address with a relevant county clerk. There is a Dash 2 amendment. The changes that the Dash 2 amendment makes are, in essence, definitional. First of all, it strikes the definition of mortgage of record currently located at subsection 6 of section 1 and strikes trust deed of record located, this is on page 2, in subsection 13 at line 17 of section 1. It also amends in section 2, the subsection 2, and what's happening there is, in essence, the reference to the mortgagee of record, which is made at line 24 and line 25, is struck, though it is retained in the last at line 26. Again, definitional modifications. There is a minimal fiscal impact statement associated with Senate Bill 382 as amended by the Dash 2s.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 2 amendment, Senate Bill 382.
We have a motion that's being made. I'm going to go ahead and just make the motion, so then we'll go into discussion. Senator Cruz moves the Dash 2 amendments into Senate Bill 382. Sounds like maybe we're wondering if we have those.
If they were on the Android drive, they would have been posted.
Mr. Chair, I'm familiar with the amendment. I just didn't have it. I wanted to know.
Okay.
I'm familiar with the history.
Do you need a copy down?
Cruz, I passed one down. Thank you.
The tech code.
Yeah, so much for that.
All right, so any discussion on the amendment, adoption of the Dash 2 amendments in 382? Not seeing anyone making any discussion. So ordered. Or I should ask, I guess let me ask, any objection
that
to the Dash 2s?
Yeah.
All right, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 382 as amended by the Dash 2 amendments to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
All right, Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 382 as amended by the Dash 2s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
The question, Mr. Chair, and maybe Council can help this. David Needles in the room. I know there was some concern about the retroactivity. I just want to make sure that was dealt with in the Dash 2.
It appears it was not.
A little bit.
Partially.
Sweet. Chair Brzozinski, members of the committee, Senator Bonamici, we do have concerns with the bills. However, as I've indicated to the state bar, we are willing to work with them on the other side of the building with respect to the retroactivity issue.
And
name,
Kevin,
please.
Just please put your name on
Kevin that. Christensen, Oregon Bankers Association.
Thank
Thanks.
Thank you. All right, so any objection to the motion that's before us? Not seeing any, we'll go ahead and that's so ordered. And do we have a carrier for 382? Senator Cruz will be the carrier on Senate Bill 382 as amended by the Dash 2s going to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Close that work session. Open the work session on Senate Bill 401.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, Senate Bill 401, you may recall, was already amended by a Dash 1 amendment, which changed it from what it appears to be to the crime of insurance fraud.
Mm-hmm.
This would make mandatory, it would create the new crime of insurance fraud and make mandatory the reporting of any commission of this offense to the director of the Department of Consumer and Business Services. And And since I can see senators looking at me with a...
I found that question.
Okay. Yeah, the Dash 2 amendment's ultimately what we're going to be looking at today. The Dash 2 amendment re-replaces, stays on the same topic, but re-replaces the Dash 1 amendment. Under the Dash 2, the crime of insurance fraud is committed if a person with the intent to deceive or defraud provides false information or makes a material misrepresentation in connection with a claim for an insurance benefit, fails to decline a payment to which the person is not entitled, conceals from or fails to disclose to an insurer the occurrence of an event or the existence of any information that would cause the insurer not to provide a benefit to which the person is not entitled, obtains a benefit in an amount greater than that to which the person is entitled, or makes or causes to be made during an official proceeding a false material statement in connection with an insurance claim. There are a few major modifications from the Dash 1. First of all, the requirement that a statement be material has appeared in several instances in the Dash 2 amendment. This was made in response to commentary made at the public hearing on the Dash 1 about that existing elsewhere in state law, in other state law. Second of all, there's been a reconfiguration of the punishment of this section. If the value of the benefit exceeds $10,000, this would be a Class B felony. If it exceeds $1,000 but is less than $10,000, a Class C felony, and beneath that, a Class A misdemeanor. This brings that structure into alignment with the regime for property offenses generally elsewhere within the criminal code. As amended by the Dash 2s, 401-2 is expected to have a minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
All right, Senator Cruz, you want to make a motion on the Dash 2s?
Mr. Turkey, we stand at ease for a
moment. We're going to stand at ease for a moment.
Thank you.
All right, we're back on the record. Senator Wissett, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I do. This is shows my ignorance of the law, but this creates a civil cause of action. Does the civil cause of action require a conviction of the violation of the crime of insurance fraud, or is it independent?
I can answer that. Oh, please. All right, that's why you're here.
Chair Przanski, Senator Whitsett, I would call your attention to Section 4 of the amendment, where it does say, an insurer shall have a civil cause of action to recover the value of the benefits provided to or payments or recoveries obtained by a person convicted of insurance fraud under Section 1.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. All right, any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, the Dash 2 amendment to Senate Bill 401.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 2 amendments in the Senate Bill 401. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 401 as amended by the Dash 2 amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right. Senator Cruz moves Senate 401 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation as amended by the Dash 2s. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And the chair will carry 401 as well. We'll close the work session on 401. Open the work session on 406.
Chair Przanski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 406, which we heard just back on the 18th, has to do with the amount of time after which a person is permitted to petition for the restoration of driving privileges following a revocation as a result of a criminal conviction. In Oregon, a lifetime revocation actually amounts to 10 years. And the procedure for how your license may or may not be reinstated at the end of that 10-year period is still being worked out, as that law is less than 10 years old. There is a Dash 1 amendment. The Dash 1 amendment adds a few requirements to the process of reinstatement. First of all, that a person must petition for reinstatement in the county in which their driving privileges were revoked. Presently, it's the county in which they reside. Further provides that court may not order the reinstatement of privileges under this section unless the person shows proof that they have completed an alcohol or drug treatment program in a facility approved by the Director of Oregon Health Authority or a similar program in another jurisdiction. For the Dash 1 amendment, no fiscal evaluation has been completed.
All right. The question is whether we think this, what type of impact do we think this is going to have in the carrying this out. I guess the answer to the question, from what I understand, we're coming close to the point of where the 10 years are going to run and where people will be able to apply. I think the issue is whether how much processing would need to be done at the agency for these applications. My understanding is that cost should already be somewhat built in just because this has been ongoing. I don't know if it's going to increase more workload or not, and I'm not sure we have anyone here that could give us better response to that. So I hate to say I don't know how to respond as to whether it's going to give you heartburn or not.
We're waiting to have the fiscal vote tonight.
So you want to hold this one?
Mr. Chair, that's for sure. I just would have a little more higher level of certainty if it's $1 billion or something.
Yeah, clarity. All right, so we're going to have this one come back to us. Okay. So we'll close the works. Let's see, the dash ones, have we entered?
No.
We have
not adopted.
Let's go ahead and adopt the amendments on the dash ones.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I'll move the dash one amendments in Bill 406.
All right, Senator Cruz moves the dash one amendments in the Senate Bill 406. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. And we'll close the work session on 406 at this time. Open the work session on 414.
Chair Przanski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 414 pertains to the delivery and execution of small estate affidavits, these affidavits being served on the individuals who control access to the personal property belonging to the estate of a decedent. There is lengthy conversation specifically about how this right would extend to the property that is held in a safety deposit box. There is a lengthy amendment, a dash one, that has been submitted on this bill, and I believe there, Mr. Christensen was
also a dash two.
Yeah. Present. Senator Tim Martinez is here. My understanding, we got everything in that we need.
That is correct. The dash one has been evaluated.
I think we're ready to move the bill, and unless someone has a question, we're going with the dash ones, I believe. And so if I can get a motion on the dash one.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 414.
Senator Cruz moves the dash one amendment in the Senate Bill 414. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 414 as amended to the floor by the dash one amendment to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
And Chair Przanski, Senator Cruz, I'd like to put on the record that this is not projected to have a fiscal impact. I don't believe I said that.
I think you did, but
Do we not have a statement?
No impact. There's no impact.
Here's the great part about this. First, we got the motion that's before us to move Senate Bill 414 as amended by the dash ones to the floor with a due pass recommendation. What is very nice is that everyone worked very hard on this particular bill. We got the amendment back and we got the fiscal back in lightning speed. So all of those people that are behind the scenes doing the work, Thank you. Okay. Any discussion on the motion? Any objection to the motion? So ordered. And Senator Cruz or Senator Wissett?
I carry.
Senator Wissett will be the carrier on Senate Bill 414. And we'll close the work session on 414, open it up on 415.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, Senate Bill 415, or co-chairs, I'm sorry, Chair Przanski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 415, habit.
Quite all right.
Same room. After a while, it's hard to tell them apart.
You can have a short tenure here.
I'll take him over in the house.
Yeah. All right. Senate Bill 415, as initially introduced, increased the penalty for the traffic offense of violation driving while suspended or revoked if the commission of the offense contributed to the serious injury or death of a vulnerable user in a public way. At the time of the public hearing back on March 29th, proponents advanced a dash one amendment. That dash one amendment was discussed at the time of the public hearing that modified this to hold, in essence, the same structure applies, only now it's within the offense of careless driving. and it would be an enhancement factor there. It does require the imposition of a specific sentence, a traffic safety course between 100 and 200 hours of community service, and impose or suspend a fine of up to $12,500 if somebody is found to be in violation of this section. With the Dash 1 amendment, Senate Bill 415 is expected to have no revenue impact and no fiscal impact.
All right. Senator Cruz?
Chair, I move the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 415.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 1 amendment to Senate Bill 415. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 415 as amended by the Dash 1 amendment to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 415 as amended by the Dash 1s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Any objection? So ordered. The Chair will carry 415 on the floor. We'll close the work session on 415. We'll open a work session on 424.
Co-chairs, members of... My goodness, you'd think I'd learn. Chair Przanski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 424 has to do with the with pedestrian crossing into roadway, and specifically what portion of a pedestrian's body entering the roadway constitutes the entry of the roadway. There are three amendments. They are not competitive amendments, and they have all received fiscal evaluations. They're all found to have minimal impact. The first one, the Dash 1 amendment, takes out the leashed animal. So on page 1 at line 29, currently the following objects, and this is not meant to be an exhaustive list, would be considered extensions of the pedestrian entering the roadway: a wheelchair, a cane, a crutch, a bicycle, or a leashed animal. The leashed animal would no longer apply. Dash 2 spoke to concerns raised at the time of the public hearing about clarification between crossing at a crosswalk and crossing in a roadway. It makes explicit through introduction of the words "in a crosswalk" at line 27 that Section 1 is meant to apply only to individuals who are entering a crosswalk. And finally, the Dash 3. The Dash 3 amendment would add a new Section 3. The new Section 3 would discuss the offense of pedestrian with improper position upon or improperly proceeding along a highway by creating a new set of exceptions to that at the subsection 3 within there, saying individuals that do not impede traffic or creating a traffic hazard, who post advance warning signs in compliance with standards adopted by the Oregon Transportation Commission, who wear high visibility safety apparel in compliance with standards adopted by the Oregon Transportation Commission, or have a permit or belong to a group that have a permit issued under Section 5, Chapter 47, Oregon Laws 2008.
All right. So the chair will entertain motions on the Dash 1.
Mr. Chairman, the Dash 1 amendment, Senate Bill 424.
Senator Cruz moves Dash 1 amendments into Senate Bill 424. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chairman, the Dash 2 amendment to Senate Bill 424.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 2 amendments into Senate Bill 424. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
Chair, I move the Dash 3 amendment to Senate Bill 424.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 3 amendments in the Senate Bill 424. Discussion? Objection? So ordered. We have everything. We have minimum impact and no revenue on all three of those.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
On the Dash 3 amendment, on the last paragraph, Oregon Department of Transportation reports the Division of Motor Vehicles will have a fiscal of $97,000 per biennium.
Where are you?
So, you got that on which one? Wrong bill. 424. That's next bill.
That's coming.
Very good. I have a filing error.
That's quite all right.
How could that have happened?
I mean, with so little paperwork. All right, so any other discussion? Any objections to the motion?
There is no motion.
There is no motion.
Okay, on the dash three?
No, we've already done it.
We've already adopted all.
Okay, so are you going to give us a motion on the adoption, moving the bill or not?
As soon as you get done messing around with mine.
Okay, go for it.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 424 as amended by the dash one, dash two, and dash three amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
All right, Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 424 as amended by the dash ones, dash twos, and dash threes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I would just like to say that I'm very pleased to see this move forward. We have way too many pedestrian deaths in this state, and especially in the city of Portland. And I would also like to volunteer to carry the bill.
Don't worry, your name's already on it.
Mr. Chair, I was a would have been a proponent of this bill until I saw the State Street sting the other day, which was went along. The officers were citing people up and down the State Street for stepping off on the sidewalk. It was actually, there was a pool going on our side of the building, see who would get arrested next, or who would be cited next.
Were any of our colleagues?
Oh, all right, so with that, any other objections?
Mr. Chair.
All right, go ahead.
Oh, I don't object. I just want to thank the proponents for taking the leashed animal part out on behalf of my...
high energy.
All righty. Okay, any other discussion? Objections on the bill? I have Senator Wissett and Senator Cruz. Motion carries. Senator Dingfelder will, in fact, be our carrier from Portland. All right, so with that, we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 424, and we'll open up a work session on 504.
Co-chairs. Oh, my goodness. Chair Przanski, members of the committee. I swear I'm not doing that on purpose.
You're in a rut.
Yeah, I am in a rut. Senate Bill 504 it pertains to the suspension of driving privileges in association with the use of an ignition interlock device. There are three different amendments, and they all of which have associated fiscals. And I'll try to walk you through what they do. The issue on from one amendment to another is basically if you're required as a function of a criminal conviction to have an ignition interlock device in your car and you either don't install it or tamper with it, how that should be held against you. Under Amendment 1, the non-installation would basically cause your suspension to continue until the Department of Transportation receives notification that the interlock device has been installed or the device is no longer required by the suspension, meaning it's elapsed. There's no provision in there for tampering. At dash 2, it requires the suspension up until proof that the interlock device has been installed, but you're required to make up day for day any period where you were driving around and the device was not installed in your car. Similarly, a person who tampers with the ignition would face the same sort of consequence. If you install it, but then you disable it and you drive around for 3 months, and when that is found out, you have an additional 3 months of suspension. Sub 3 is the same as sub 2, but the difference is that it's been left blank within the amendment. If you're found to tamper, it would cause an extension of the term of your suspension just automatically as a consequence of tampering, and the specific amount of that suspension has not been decided by legislative counsel. There were fiscals issued on all three of these proposals. Each one does carry a fiscal impact. How they differ is fairly small. For the dash one, the Oregon Department of Transportation reports that the Department of Motor Vehicles will incur costs. DMV estimates ongoing costs of approximately $96,000 per biennium, and programming costs, those are the costs associated with getting all of this started up, of approximately $53,000. It is important to note that DMV analyzes all legislation and develops a work plan. So that's, in essence, the dash one. The dash two fiscal differs from the dash one modestly. It reports ongoing costs of approximately $97,000 and startup costs of $230,000 as opposed to $53,000. Finally, the dash three again reports $97,000 continuing per biennium and programming and startup costs in 2011 to 2013 of $239,000.
All right. So
based on looking at the description, I know these are minimum impacts as how they defined it in their piece. I guess the question at this point, do we need to have this go down to Ways and Means? I think so. Why don't we go ahead and put the motion? We have the paperwork, so we just need to make
amendments.
Well, this is, you know, Senator Boquist is one of the individuals that is involved with this bill. Why don't we do this? We are going to be coming back.
Okay.
So we're going to hold this one just to make sure we know which of the three we want to move forward at this point. So we got clarity. We'll get more information from Senator Boquist, since this is one that he has been active on. We'll close the work session on 504 for now. And we're going to open up a work session on 516. I think we're ready. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Open up the work session on 516.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, Senate Bill 5, I give up. Chair Przanski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 516 provides that a rate of 9% per annum interest would apply as the default rate of interest for certain court-mandated arbitration proceedings and mediated agreements. They're subject to judgment for failure to comply with the result of the mediation. There are amendments that have been advanced. The Dash 2s are the important ones. They make two substantive changes. First of all, they make it clear that these apply to, that this bill is meant to apply only to consumer contracts. Secondly, they modify the scope of the bill so that it affects new contracts, but also contracts that come up for renewal or reinstatement, or which are sort of transferred on the open market. As amended by the Dash 2s, there is no projected fiscal or revenue impact.
All right, so the chair will take a motion on the Dash 2 amendments.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 2 amendment, Senate Bill 516.
Senator Cruz moves the Dash 2 amendments into Senate Bill 516. Discussion? Objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair.
Now, my understanding, this is heading to rules. Is this correct, Senator Dinkfelder?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Chair will take the motion.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 516 as amended by the Dash 2 amendments be referred to the President's desk for referral to the Committee on Rules.
All right, Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 516 as amended by the Dash 2s. To the floor with a due pass recommendation.
No,
and
send it to the President's desk.
To the President's desk first and then ask for a subsequent referral to rules.
Well, that's one way to do it.
We have the fiscals.
Oh,
okay.
So,
but do we have it on the Dash 2s?
Let me ask a question. Why is it going to rules?
My understanding, the parties were still working on trying to get some consensus before it actually goes.
Okay, which is why I was sending it to the President's desk for a subsequent referral, because it still needs work, and so it's not a finished product. But
I don't have any clarification on that or not, but there you go. Maybe that's it.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's see. Let's go ahead and just do the motion. It's going to get to the same place. So Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 516 as amended by the Dash 2s. Well, except when it goes to the President's office, it's without recommendation. That's the way.
Right, but if it still needs work, what are we recommending?
Okay. All right, with no recommendation to the President's desk.
I'd rather do it with recommendation.
Well, that's what I thought. So let's just vote on this one.
Yeah.
Those in favor of the motion, please signal by raising your hand.
Which?
This is to send it to the President's office without recommendation. Senator Cruz and Senator Wissett, other three are in opposition, so motion fails. Take another motion, if any, on 516.
Mr. Chair, I will move referral of Senate Bill 516 to the Committee on Rules with a due pass recommendation.
All right. Senator Dinkfelder moves Senate Bill 516 as amended by the Dash 2s to the floor with a due pass recommendation. and request the president to refer the bill to rules. Any discussion?
Before we vote on this, Chair, did we ever get an LC opinion on whether this is constitutional or not? Did that ever come through?
We did get an opinion. I believe that was made available, and that's why the Dash 2s are going forward. I looked at it and made a decision. I did not want to have that potential conflict on the Constitution, and so it is affecting contracts in, going forward, or renewals of contracts when they are renewed, or when the if a note is on the market and sold at the time that it is sold, the person understands that there could be the judicial rate of interest. All right. Any objection to the motion? All right. Objections from Senator Wissett and Senator Cruz. Well, motion passes. Close the work session on Senate Bill 516. Open the work session on 524.
Chair Przonski, Vice Chair Cruz, other members of Senate Judiciary. Senate Bill 524 exempts from disqualification based on enumerated criminal offenses individuals who provide mental health treatment or services and individuals who provide substance use disorder treatment or services. It repeals a sunset on the exemption for employees of residential facilities providing alcohol and drug use treatment, then sort of institutionalize what makes permanent what it proposes. It requires the Department of Human Services and OHA, upon request of an individual who is exempt from disqualification based on his criminal offense, to maintain whatever record they make of the fitness determination they make initially as a result of the criminal records check, and to disclose that upon request of the individual. This is the introductory bill of Senate Bill 524. There is a fiscal impact, but the fiscal impact says, in essence, the bill has no fiscal impact for Oregon Health Authority or the Department of Human Services because it allows current practices to continue.
Okay. Senator Cruz.
Mr. Chair, if I could ask committee staff what the fate of House Bill 2460 was on the House side. Did that make it out of judiciary? That was Representative Gelser's bill, same subject, but it was just dealing with alcohol and drug counselors, not A&D counselors.
Chair Przonski, Senator Cruz, off the top of my head, I don't remember, but we could certainly get that information quickly.
Look it up right now if you want. Yeah.
Well, Ms. Chair, I mean, my issue with this is I think it's appropriate, but at this point in time, I would prefer it just be A&D counselors.
What's the bill number?
2460. 2460.
And
what facilities? A&D for...
Sarah,
how do you
feel doing the same thing?
It's still in judiciary.
It's still in
judiciary?
Well,
why don't we do this?
No. It's here. It passed 60-0.
It passed.
It's sitting in our committee right now.
Okay. You know, Ms. Chair, that I like this concept and I support it. I don't want to bite the whole apple all at once. I was really comfortable with just doing A&D counselors, which is what the House bill does, I believe.
So, all right, what we're going to do, because I want to get clarification as to potential relating clauses and the status and all that. So,
relating to providers of residential treatment to individuals with alcohol or drug dependence.
Okay, it doesn't get me where we may need to go. Okay, so...
on a motion, Mr. Chair?
That's where, this is scheduled to go to rules.
Okay. We got all the paperwork.
We do.
Okay. And no amendments.
That's correct.
So, Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 524 to the floor with due pass recommendation and request a subsequent referral to the Committee on Rules.
Senator Cruz moves Senate Bill 524 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and requesting the President make a subsequent referral to the Committee on Rules. Discussion? Objections? So ordered. And we'll close the work session on the 524. Open the work session on 761.
Chair Przonski, members of the committee, Senate Bill 761 pertains to the sort of calculation methods that are used to determine how much credit defendant should receive for the successful completion of an alternative incarceration program. The Dash 1 amendment has been advanced, and there is someone here to speak about it if necessary. The most significant change made by the Dash 1 amendment happens what is presently subsection 4, which is located at line 29, states, when an offender has successfully completed a program, the department may release the offender on post-prison supervision, and then it provides a list of parameters. This is sort of the current law. The offender has served a term of incarceration of at least 1 year, will not receive more than 20% credit, etc. The Dash 1 amendments would delete everything after post-prison supervision all the way through to the start of current Section 7. The practical import of this is that an offender would be eligible for release from prison upon completion of an alternative incarceration program. So the current consideration of time remaining would no longer be a consideration under the Dash 1. The Dash 1 has not yet been evaluated by fiscal.
All right. So at this point, what we would need to do is adopt the Dash 1 amendments.
Mr. Chairman, the Dash 1 amendment, Senate Bill 761.
All right. Senator Cruz moves the Dash 1 amendments into Senate Bill 761. Discussion? Objections? So ordered.
The twos are not in advance.
They're not moving forward. Yeah. And so at this point, regarding this bill, this is one that needs to go to Ways and Means, and we would need to suspend the rules to move to Ways and Means.
Come this far, Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of referring Senate Bill 761 to the floor with a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
All right, Senator Cruz asked to suspend the rules for the purposes of moving Senate Bill 761 as amended by the Dash Ones to the floor with a due pass recommendation and request a subsequent referral to the Ways and Means Committee. Discussion?
Well, I didn't say due pass, but anyway, you got the rest of my motion right.
So is it without recommendation?
This is a rule suspension.
Okay, got it.
Discussion on the motion to suspend the rules. Any objection? So ordered.
Mr. Chair, if you want to do pass the recommendation, have somebody else make the motion.
I'll be happy to make it, Mr. Chair.
Go right ahead.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. I will make a motion to send Senate Bill 761 to the floor with a due pass recommendation with a subsequent referral to the Ways and Means Committee.
As amended by the Dash 1s?
As amended by the Dash 1s on
Senator,
421.
Senator Dingfelder moves Senate Bill
61.
Oh, I'm sorry. On 421.
Senator Dingfelder moves Senate Bill 761 as amended by the Dash 1s to the floor with a due pass recommendation and requests the President make a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means. Discussion? Yes, Senator Wissett.
Question, Councilor, just to be clear, in the example on the SMS here, if you started with 100 months, you would lose 20 months with a 20% reduction plus then with the AIP, then you would lose another 30% after July 1st, which would be a total of 44 months after the 100-month sentence. And in addition to that, if there were consecutive sentences, the 20% reduction of the AIP would apply to each of the consecutive sentences. Would the good time also apply to the consecutive sentences?
Chair Przanski, Senator Whitsitt, I think I understand correctly. So your question is, if you have two consecutive sentences, is there a good time calculation applied to both?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Any other Yes, Senator Wilk.
Just to clarify, Mr. Chair and committee counsel, it's my understanding that the examples that Senator Whitten was talking about, the first one was under the current law, and the second one was under the proposed bill. And the way I read this is it's a difference of four months. Because under the current statute, it's a maximum reduction of 36 months, but under the proposed bill, it's 40 months. So it's a four-month difference. Is that, am I reading that correctly?
Chair Prezonsky, Senator Bonamici, that is correct. However, that is the introductory version of the bill. That would not be correct under the Dash 1 amendment.
Okay, that's my understanding as well.
All right, any other discussion? Objections? Senator Cruz, Senator Wissett? Motion carries. And all right, folks, so we're now down on regarding 763. We're going to hold that one because there's some other discussion that needs to take place. So what we're going to be doing is recessing the meeting till 5:15. My notes reflect that, everything that's on the agenda, realize, folks, is still in play, technically, because we're just recessing. But I do have, it looks like we have ones that have not been addressed. I have nine bills that I believe we have not taken action on at this point. And so we will be going through with staff, but realize we're going to compare all of our notes. That's why we're recessing, so anything that's on the agenda is still here before us, and we'll make certain that we have a clearer agenda as to what still needs to be actioned, and then we will hopefully get the paperwork that we need, and we can move through this quickly. Any other statements? I'm looking at counsel from all three directions just to make sure we got everything covered. And more importantly, Christy's nodding her head yes. That means it's a thumb up. So we are recessed until this afternoon at 5:15. This is April 21st. Thank you.